Blog Talk Radio.
Inner Healers is a worldwide community of people who believe healing comes from the inside, as well as all the answers needed to live a happy, healthy life. As such, this is the Inner Healers Radio, an online talk show on alternative medicine to provide life guidance and help people connect through emotion with their natural inner state of health. With this radio and the help of all our guests and followers, we hope to create a space for sharing our lives online. Listen to your favorite spiritual and master teachers, authors, psychologists, channelers, healers, psychics, music therapists, and more. My name is Luciana Stiglitz. I'm the founder of Inner Healers, and I will be your host in this adventure. May you allow yourself to enjoy it.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to our Inner Healers Radio. Today, our topic is Sacred Stone Medicine, and our amazing guest is Kailash Kokopelli. Like the mythological Kokopelli, the flute playing seed carrier and messenger between the tribes, Kailash Kokopelli is planting inspirational seeds through his flute song, devotional heart song, and spirit chant into the hearts and minds of those around him. He is also working with sustainable projects and organic seed saving. A humanitarian artist and bridge maker has traveled the planet for over 30 years, gathering good medicine and sacred teachings which he is weaving through and in between his amazing world music and song dances. As a multi-instrumentalist, Kailash produces and performs sacred world music globally, mastering the Native American prayer flute and Australian didgeridoo as a key to access source within. This sound medicine man has studied with Native medicine people from age 17 and participated in hundreds of purification and healing ceremonies, as well as vision casts, prayer dances, and medicine work. He's recognized as a cross-cultural bridge maker, medicine person, and humanitarian artist working with indigenous people around the planet. Kailash is a world music producer, expert in sound medicine, which is our topic for today, offering his instruments as a prayer tool and keys to initiate self-healing processes. Let me welcome Kailash and help me, people, to welcome today Kailash Kokopelli. Hello.
Hello, Luciana. This is Kailash. How are you?
Hey, how it's so
can
good
you hear me?
To listen to you. How have you been? Yes, I can listen to you perfectly. Welcome to our Inner Healers Radio. How are you feeling today?
I'm great. The sun is shining in the Swedish forest. I've been driving 1,000 miles to get here over the land. I came touring from Hungary through Germany, Czech Republic, Germany, and took the ferry last night over to Scandinavia, and so I just managed to get here in time, on the minute, actually, for this radio interview. I'm performing here.
Thank you very much.
And so I'm very grateful for this opportunity. Thank you for having me.
We're so honored to have you with us today. So tell us, first of all, what is a Kokopelli?
Kokopelli, they're the mythological flute players and seed carriers of the Anasazi Native American tribe from the Four Corners, Utah, Colorado, New Mexico, Arizona. They 1,000 years ago, the cliff dwellers in the canyon, the Shade and Chaco Canyon, and they've left these petroglyphs of the flute, humpback flute playing Kokopelli. And he's a symbol, a bringer of fertility, but he was more than just a seed carrier. He was a bridge maker between the clans, between the tribes. And he would sit in council fire with the elders to receive messages and teachings and bring these messages and teachings onto the next council fire, the next community. So he would announce his coming through flute playing. And so he was like a troubadour, bard, a mercury of the Native Americans, and so basically the postman before post, and the storyteller, He was a storyteller, a dancer, and a sacred musician. Through his flute playing, he would touch, open not just the heart and the mind of the people, but he would awaken the seeds, which he would bring to plant, different strands of corn, and the three sisters. They just found an 800-year-old clay pot with pumpkin seeds, squash seeds, which are not on the planet anymore. And so they reintroduced these 800-year-old seeds, and the native knew this squash as they had a name like the old one or the old grandfather squash. And so this would be the work of the Kukupeli. They would be preserving seeds for the future generation in time of global changes on the planet. They would look into trading seeds, sharing seeds, because obviously seeds are our, not just our food, but our medicines. And without, you know, the seeds, no life possible for us here. And of course, everything is interconnected, the sacred waters of life, the sacred elements of life sustaining us. But the seeds are, of course, there to nourish our people.
That is beautiful. So how did you become Kailash Kokopelli? Can you tell us a little bit about your story?
My story, I would sit in the forest. Well, first of all, I was born in Germany, but from my father's lineage, there is an unknown bloodline, which was mixed with apparently some royal family who abandoned a child. And so it was found early morning in the fields. And so my surname from my father's side is the one who has awakened in the early mornings. And I was found awake in the early mornings. So many of my Native American friends, they say, are you sure you don't have some Native blood in there somewhere? So the first thing I would draw was Native American teepees and Native Americans on horses. And I would paint myself and wear feathers. Already as a child, I felt, and people said you were like from another tribe, and I felt very much like from another tribe or from another planet. And the only person I could relate to was an old woman who would come, whenever she would see me in the street, she would come to me and stroke over my head. Her name was Mrs. Ambrosia. And later on, I found out that she was living alone in the forest, and she was a medicine woman. She knew about the healing herbs. And so when I was about 10 years old, I started developing interest to study the local medicinal plants and edible plants. So I would spend a lot of time alone in the forest and in the fields. And I would walk with my flute into the forest and sit under the ancient beech trees to make my flute offering to the Great Spirit, to Great Mystery, to Source. And the Great Spirit would respond to my flute prayer by wind. So the wind would come, and the wind would tell me things about global major changes on the planet, and that everything we had built was destined to fall, and because it was not sustainable. Yeah, because our world, the world of our the human beings, is built on cost of the earth and is in disobedience with the sacred laws of this planet. So we're apparently, obviously, exploiting this planet to such an extent that we're exhausting the resources and potentially destroying ourselves. And back at that time, when I received these messages, there was no internet, there was nobody in my field who could tell me about the thing. The wind told me about this. And so then later I saw in my visions on Vision Quest, and I saw major Earth changes which were about to be happening on this planet. And so I had a calling to go out to find my tribe and my people So I left home with 13, age 13. I left home. I quit school. I left home and I followed this calling. And on this journey, I met Native American medicine people. My teacher was Sun Bear, and who brought me together with Lame Deer and Wallace Blackout, some Native from the Lakota Nation, and medicine people. I was sitting with in purification lodges, sweat lodges, and I studied about the medicine wheels and earth communication, and we would go on vision quests and communicate with the creators through our chanupa, our prayer pipe, and and then later on, I would meet other Native teachers who would be my Sundance chief or Earth Dance chief. And so I was dancing for 7 years and prayer dances and so on. And basically, so I was called out to find my tribe, to find my people. So I started traveling the planet to prepare myself. Then later, I got visions of Ark. I got visions of an ark of seeds, which I was supposed to build, basically a form of a seed preservation or organic seed preservation vault. And so I've been studying and collecting seeds and also the song of seeds, because if we become very quiet, we can hear the song of things. So listening deeply, we can hear the song of stone, we can hear the song of stars, we can hear the song of seeds, and we can hear the song of heart if we become quiet and we listen, and we can come in tune with the song of the heart, which is our compass for guidance. So in this way, if we become quiet, we can hear the soul essence or the original frequency key. And in this frequency key, all the original instructions are can be translated. In this frequency key, when we say the song of seeds, for example, we become very hear the song of seeds, and we are able to translate this correctly. Within the song of seeds, we have all the nutritional and medicinal properties of the seeds. And so my research is around sound medicine, sound healing, the song of seeds, learning to translate and decipher. I know there's some technology now where some scientists have found being able to translate the frequency key of, for example, vitamin C. And by playing this frequency key, it would only through the sound, it would create and or it would... the body would create vitamin C only by listening to this frequency key. So basically, this is what the song of seeds is about. Basically, there's two strands in my research is seed preservation, collecting of seeds for the future generations in times of global major changes on the planet. And then the song of seeds would be to learn and study the exact frequency keys so that we can basically, through the frequency key, be nourished. And the medicinal properties of the seeds or the plants would work through the sound. And this is where the medicine people come into play with Icaros or medicine chants or spirit chants. When we have a relationship to a specific plant and we can really be in a deep communion with this plant, and this plant, we can come into resonance with it, and we would be able to translate the song of these plants, and or these plant spirits would start singing through us, and then the healing properties of these plants can be translated through the sound or through the song, even without ingesting the plant. So this is basically, in a nutshell, what the Song of Seeds is about. And my life story, it will take many hours, days probably, to share. There's many magical stories in my life. And you would have to ask me more specific questions in order to not branch out too much.
Yes. So was there any specific moment in which you decide to hold the name Kokopelli?
The name Kokopelli was given to me by the people. People started recognizing me as an archetype. I don't think there was just one Kokopelli. I think it was a form of a clan of Kokopellis, like bards. You know, there was not just one bard, or there was not just one troubadour. There was not just one postman, if you want, one messenger. Yes, it's a clan. It's a how do you call it? Like an office, you know. Basically, So through my flute prayer and my love and respect for indigenous cultures, and I've been recognized by different native people from the different nations as a clan brother, as a cousin, like the Himba tribe in Namibia. They call me cousin. I've done some humanitarian water well projects for them. Some of the Maori people recognize me as a tribal brother. Some of the I met some elders from the Pidgin Jara tribe in Australia, who recognize me as bridge maker. Some of the Cree and Algonquin I've met recognize me as a cousin, and so on and so on. So people recognize me as, even though I don't have full native blood, a quarter native blood, people recognize me as an ally, or as a bridge maker between the indigenous cultures and our world. So
I was given this name by the people. Yes, right, and you embrace the name, due to your past. It's really beautiful. So what can you tell us about sacred boundness? What can you tell our listeners? Maybe some of our listeners have never heard about this term before, or might have heard about sound medicine, but what can you tell them about this for you from your heart, what in your experience?
Okay. All right. So I have one question. How much time do we actually have in this interview?
We might have probably 10 more minutes.
Okay, all right. Okay, so let me get into sound medicine. So in order to understand sound medicine, we have to understand what is sound. If we go into the very heart of the atom, what is there? Energy. This energy is vibrating. This vibration translates into frequency. This frequency translates into sound. So we can say that all of creation is energy on different levels of vibration. What makes the stone, the plant, the animal, and humans, is a different frequency key, or the different combination of sounds or frequencies and rhythms and pulses. Also our organs, every organ has a unique frequency key, which creates a specific container in its function. And so if we find that frequency key through the harmonic range, we can strengthen and nourish the organ and its function. And also sickness has a specific frequency key. For example, the cancer has a frequency key between 10 and 20,000 hertz. So if we come into resonance with this frequency, we can change the frequency, similar to an opera singer who sings a higher pitched frequency which brings the mirror or the glass so much into resonance that it shatters. So similar, the cell membranes of the cancer cell would shake and disintegrate from the resonance, and then the change of resonance, the change of frequency. So and so the cancer cell dies and healing can be established. So, and through the harmonic range, and specifically through the instrument I'm working with, the didgeridoo, which I have been playing since the 1989. I was one of the first didgeridoo players in Europe, bringing the mother of all flutes to Germany in the early 90s. And so I was witnessing incredible healing being initiated through the sound medicine, or the sound healing effect of the deep vibration, which is accompanied by harmonics or overtones, the overtone range, which goes straight up into infinity. So I was able to work out a specific program with a clairvoyant at the time. I was working with a healer, a master healer. Over 7 years, we've been working together, a program which would identify, like use sound as a diagnostic tool to cleanse the auric field, not just the physical, but also the emotional, mental, and astral bodies, to stimulate the energy centers. We have seven main energy centers. We have 72,000 energy channels in the body known as the nadis. And most of the time, these subtle energy channels are blocked from toxic lifestyle and diet. So our life force is being compromised. We are basically dormant. Yeah, we have only, what is it like? We're using 5 to 7% of our brain capacity. We have so much untapped potential, and human potential, divine human potential, and through exercise, breath, meditation, prayer, movement, sound. This potential can be awakened. And specifically, I was witnessing in the last decades, almost 3 decades of my work, that sound has such a profound healing effect and can activate self-healing processes so that people can tap into what I call inner source. Yeah, the sound born out of silence, leading back into silence, is a wonderful tool to tap into inner source, which is the pool of guidance, the pool of wisdom, the pool of healing, the pool of life force within us. If we become very quiet, if we still our mind, and we tap in through prayer, meditation, breath, movement, dance, stillness, yoga, qi movements, you know, all these different tools are amazing tools for us to tap into our true potential and inner source, and to be guided from there, and to align ourselves. And so sound is, in this field, a wonderful ally. Yeah? Sound medicine is, of course, it's a powerful label. For me, sound medicine is to really master the one frequency which cures cancer, or the one frequency which cures. And we've had some amazing miracle healing success with, for example, 5 centimeter cyst in ovaries being cured in one night of a sound medicine application. And the next day, Estonian a client went to X-ray. They couldn't find the cyst anymore, and it hasn't returned. A year later, I touched in with her and touched base with her, and there was no return of the tumor. So sound is powerful, and we are all resonating and vibrating and in resonance with sound. So sound is definitely a very, very powerful tool to awaken us and heal us.
That is really amazing. So considering the circumstances the world is going through, so on one end we have what we call natural disasters, and other end we have what we call political problems, economic problems. How do you think this word helps keep a balance within the human being, the communities, the countries, the world in general?
Specify your question, please. I understand your question. So basically, we're in a time of global major changes. There's a lot going on. Politically, economically, earth changes. Yes, we are in a time of prophecy, and how to navigate through this? The only way to navigate through this is to be present, to find our center, and to tune in, to really listen deeply, to purify our perception. Yes, and I highly suggest, I mean, if we want to make use of our lifetime, which is precious and limited, we want to activate ourselves, and we want to refrain from toxicity. I mean, there's enough environment toxins we have to deal with. So to add toxins into our system through addictive behavior, if it may be, alcohol or cigarettes or other intoxication, I really urge everyone to purify their body, their mind through meditation and prayer, and their bodies through good diet and exercise, and to come to a place of inner peace, because we don't have nothing if we don't have a sense of inner peace, and at least to come in touch with our heart. And our heart is the compass for guidance. Without love, nothing works in this world. Everything will decay without love. And so we have to, of course, learn to love ourselves first, and to learn to see, to love others, and to see the divine within others, to see Pachamama, Pachakamak, yes, to see the divine in others. To learn to be compassionate and forgiving, because obviously one finger points out, three fingers point back. I haven't met one perfect master. We're all, the true master always remains a true student in the light of the great mystery ever unfolding. We have to stay humble on this path, and we have to stay alert, because the great mystery will always remain a mystery. So, even for prophets and visionary, I've received many prophetic vision, and many of them have come true. And some of them have not come true yet, and maybe not even in my lifetime. But this is part of also the clan of Pukupeli, is a form of messengers from other worlds or the higher dimensions. So, what to do in this time? I think we need to really wake up and use our potential and pray, and not just pray with thoughts and words, but with actions. And obviously, we need to take better care of Sacred Mother Earth. I mean, she's not just our mother. She's not just our home planet. She's not just providing these bodies for our visit here. She's not just providing shelter and food and nourishment and medicines and all the things which are lent to us. She's our body, and what we do to her, we do to ourselves. So it is essential for us to wake up out of this hypnotic, self-destructive behavior, and to take better care of the sacred elements of life, at least, to preserve the living waters and the sweet and salty waters and the fertile ground and the breath of life and the sacred fires and the ethers for our children and the future generations. Otherwise, there's little chance for humanity. But the prophecies say that we're going through different worlds, and of course, everything goes in cycles, and every time when we reach a high point in civilization, a climax point, usually there's a form of a renewal. Yes, we call it renewal, and this renewal needs to take place. Otherwise, obviously we're overpopulating the planet, and the way we're abusing the resources, we're gonna have a space and resources problems soon, and the way we use waste management and recycling is very bad. So we are facing a lot of repercussions of our unaware actions, and so the key is to stop, to tune in, come in tune with our heart, compass for guidance, to develop understanding, compassion, forgiveness, kindness with ourselves and others, and to try our best to try to understand who are we, what is our true assignment. Nobody can tell us. We can only know by tuning in and becoming quiet, meditating, praying, sitting on a mountaintop, calling to Great Spirit, to Pachacamac in the Quechua nation language, to call in the Great Spirit and ask for guidance, and then the Great Spirit can work through us and guide us. But we have to purify our perception and align our actions to be able to walk in harmony and balance on this planet.
Mm-hmm. And how would you say sacred sound medicine helps us to do this? Like can help communities, can help countries, can help, the collective consciousness of human beings.
Sound medicine, how sound medicine can help us? Well, sound
medicine.
Yes,
how can it, based on what you just said, what is it that the world needs right now? What's the role of sacred sound medicine in what you were saying?
Yes. I mean, sound medicine has become very popular. When I started in the early 90s, nobody knew what a didgeridoo was. Nobody could pronounce that name. Now there's thousands of didgeridoo players alone in Europe, many thousands, and many sound healers now started to, you know, there's, it's a movement. So it is needed to come into resonance, to shake up the crystallizations, to move the energy, to awaken dormant circuits. The sound is a carrier of information. A sound wave is a frequency which can carry information, and the power of our intention is what is the soul of whatever we do in our actions and our thoughts and our words. Sound with send out with pure intention has a powerful. Our intention is amplified through sound. Our intention is amplified through song, through prayer, through dance, through all this moving the energy. So sound, as I mentioned earlier, sound born out of silence, leading back into silence, is a bridge, is a vehicle which we can use to tap into inner source. And inner source is essential to be in contact with inner source, some kind of an inner guidance. Otherwise, we're lost. We're being tossed between polarity dynamics. So therefore, sound can be an amazing tool for tapping into inner stillness. And in this place of inner stillness, we can reflect ourselves and understand our true nature. And then from there, act in harmony and in beauty and in reverence for all life. And we in this place of stillness, we understand naturally our interconnectedness, that we're all unique emanation of the one ocean of being, unique waves of this ocean of being, unique rays of this eternal sun. Where does this sun end? Where does this ray begin? In essence, we're interconnected, inseparable with Source and with one another. So we're all unique emanations of Source. But somehow we got lost, and through our identification with the illusion of separation, we fall into a sense of separation. Yes, and so we identify ourselves through so much with our body, with our things we have, and the things we do and we gather around us, but it's all illusion because eventually we don't own anything. Everything we have is just lent to us. We're visitors here, and we keep on forgetting that our footprint is very heavy, and so we're called up to be guardians for this earth, to preserve this earth for the future generations, from which we have only lent this planet and the resources and the sacred elements of life. So we're called up to step into true guardianship. And everybody can start in their own environment, yeah, but simply by the choices of what we consume. Yes, if we put a lot of toxicity into our body, naturally we will put toxicity into the earth. If we put toxicity into the earth, we will put it into our body. So it's this cycle. If the more we treat our body as a sacred temple and give it the best, the more we can understand also, the more we take better care of the earth, and so the more she can take better care of us again. So meditation, prayer, diet, exercise, very very essential key. And sound medicine, is a key to open expanded perception. It can transport us into a place of deep being, of deep presence, where we can understand our interrelatedness and interconnectedness with all our relations in all the different kingdoms of life.
Thank you very much, Kailash, for being with us today. We have a couple minutes left of the show. Is there anything else you would like to convey to our listeners?
Yes, I would like to just express my deep gratitude. Is this for Peru?
This is for the whole world. We have people following from
France,
program. From Chile, from... Yes.
Okay. Okay, yes, we're one people on one planet. Let's take better care of it. We are all related as one human Earth family. We have different colors of skin, obviously, and different cultures we are born into, but we're one people, and we're sharing the one breath of life. And so let's take better care of one another. Let's love one another. Let's be compassionate and kind to one another. Let's be excited about tapping into our true potential and raising the vibration of this planet, so that we can preserve this living earth, not just for ourselves, but for our children, born and unborn, and the future generation. Ahom Itakias, and for all my relations. Thank you very much, everybody. Lots of love. Blessings from the Swedish forest. I'm on my way to Canada and U.S. I will be performing in Sweden, in south of Sweden now, the next couple of weeks, and Poland, and then Canada, and many other places. Invite me, call me up, find me, kailash-kukupeli.com, or I'm also on Facebook as Kukupeli Kailash or Kailash Kukupeli. Both accounts are full. You just have to send me a message, and I'll make space for you. Thank you so much, Luciana, for your kind hosting and invitation and recognizing this work as sacred and precious. There's so much more. We can have a couple of hours of talk about sound medicine only.
Yes, we can.
Time, of course, this is the best I think we could cover.